God's grace is yours in Jesus. Amen. Tell me, when was the last time that you ate something that you just knew wasn't very good for you? Maybe you had a bad case of the munchies, and so you ran into Quick Trip, and there's this whole aisle full of junk food that all has the label, brand name, Urge. So you oblige your urge, and you end up eating like a whole bag of barbecue potato chips. Or you've got a craving for your favorite ice cream, and so you say, I'm just going to take one spoonful, and before you know it, you've polished off a quart of it. Or you just can't get those Krispy Kreme donuts out of your head. And so when you finally get a chance to eat one, you don't eat just one. In all those cases, chances are the food you ate tasted really good. But in the end, it maybe didn't leave you feeling really good. Maybe not physically. I mean, maybe it gave you upset stomach or spiked your blood sugar or left you feeling like, bah! That's kind of a medical term. But not only did it leave you feeling bad physically, it left you feeling bad emotionally. You felt bad about yourself for eating this junk. You had a bad self-image. You find yourself wondering, well, what was I doing? Why did I eat that garbage? What we thought was going to satisfy our craving in the end wasn't all that satisfying. You realize that the same thing is true of not only the things we put in our stomach, but the things we put in our hearts. There's a lot of junk food in our world, things that we're tempted to crave, things that we think we need, that we want, that is going to satisfy us. But in the end, those things just leave us feeling empty and bitter and sad. Fortunately for us, God, in His Word, offers us a much healthier diet. He invites us to come and receive a spiritual banquet, an all-you-can-eat buffet. And best of all, there's no cost at all to us. In our text for today, God offers an amazing invitation. He says, in effect, Christian, if you're hungry, if you are thirsty, then come and get it. God offers us what we might call a banquet for our souls. Today we'll see that that banquet is not junk food that offers no satisfaction, but rather, it's a free meal for those who will listen. Our text for today is taken from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah wrote about 700 years before Christ. He's writing to the southern tribes of Judah before they are carried off into captivity for their rejection of the true God. And therefore, a lot of his book is basically a call to repentance. He points out to the people the dangers of chasing after the things of this world. He says, for example, in chapter 5, woe to those who add house after house and join field to field till no space is left and you live alone in the land. Woe to you who rise up early in the morning to run after their drinks, who stay up late at night till they are inflamed with wine. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Time and time again, Isaiah speaks for God in pointing out the danger of turning away from God and instead running after the things of this world, the temporary treasures and the selfish pleasures. Well, it's that very thing that he also alludes to in our text for today, where we read, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy?" With those words, Isaiah is basically asking, why invest yourself in things that really don't matter? Why waste your time and energy on things that can't ultimately satisfy you? You realize he's still speaking to us too, right? How often aren't we tempted to think, well, if I just had a little more money, if I just had a nicer house, boy, then I'd be happy. When I get that promotion, then I'll be somebody. I'll never be satisfied until I find that special someone in my life. And I'll really never be happy as long as I'm in this marriage. If we're honest, there are a lot of things that we find ourselves wanting, yes, craving, that in the end are not healthy. They're like junk food for our hearts. And whether that's the rush of an illicit sexual encounter, or it's the fantasy connected with an image on a screen, whether we're trying to find happiness or numbness in a bottle, or whether we think our lives are defined by how many likes we get on our Facebook post, or we think that we just can't live without our phone, or can't imagine what life would be if the Packers don't play this fall, or I can't wait until the next election because my life will be so much better when my man wins. If we're looking to be satisfied with life because of those kinds of things, we're going to be sadly disappointed. It's like eating junk food. In the end, it doesn't leave us feeling any better. But now someone might ask, well, if we're not supposed to find satisfaction in the things of this world, then where are we supposed to go? I mean, I don't want to feel empty. I don't want to be hungry. I want to be satisfied. I want to find fulfillment in my life. Where do I get it? The answer? You get it in Jesus. Remember what Jesus said in John 10:10? He said, "I have come that they," namely all the people in the world, "may have life and have it to the full." In other words, Jesus came into this world to fill us up, to give us a life that is overflowing with life. Does that mean God's going to give us everything we need? Yes, it does. Jesus has the ability to make sure that our pantry has enough food in it. He's the one who figures out how long our shoes are going to last and how many miles we're going to get out of that muffler. Most of the time, he provides for our needs in very natural ways, allowing us to get a job or to receive some assistance. Other times, he chooses when he wants to perform a miracle, like we heard in our gospel lesson. But remember, after Jesus fed the 5,000, and then they came to him again, looking for him to fill their stomachs again, you remember what he told them? "You are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. In fact, Jesus takes that very picture of food that never spoils, of bread that will last forever, and he applies it to himself. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, obviously, Jesus is not talking about physically hungry and thirsty. He's not saying, boy, if you become a Christian, you will never crave a cheeseburger again. No. He's talking about filling us up spiritually so that we are truly satisfied. We get that feeling of absolute satisfaction when we know that in Jesus, all of our sins, are forgiven. When we know that Jesus provides for all of our needs, when we know that we are all right with God, that's a feeling of satisfaction. It's the same feeling that you get at the end of the Thanksgiving meal, when you're kind of pushing yourself away from the table and your mom says, no, don't you want anything else? And you say, Mom, I'm good. I am full. Or as the psalmist put it in Psalm 23, I lack nothing. With Jesus as our bread of life, our souls are filled to overflowing. But now when we talk about Jesus as our bread of life, as we talk about spiritual eating, it's important to address a misconception that people sometimes have. Sometimes people think that in order to get something good from Jesus, we're going to have to buy it. If you happen to watch the children's lesson today, if you haven't, go online, watch it. Pastor Wardell makes a great point to the children. He actually teaches them a basic economic principle. The principle is this. There is no such thing as a free lunch. In other words, if you want a McDonald's Happy Meal, somebody's going to have to pay for it. They aren't just going to give it away. Well, that principle, our human reason, likes to then apply to spiritual meals. And we think that if we're going to get something good from God, we're going to have to earn it. We're going to have to do something. We got to be good to God, be good to others, and then God will give us something. God's not going to give us something if we can't pay Him back somehow. Our mind thinks there's no such thing as a free lunch. But God doesn't think like we think. All the spiritual gifts God offers for free. God says, my love, my forgiveness, my heaven, it's all yours free of charge. And I can give it to you free because somebody else already paid for it for you. Jesus, with his perfect life and innocent death, has purchased all of God's gifts for you. Really, that's the definition of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's the spiritual meal, the free meal, the banquet that God has laid out for hungry sinners like us. But now I want you to recognize how God connects that banquet always back to His Word. I think it's interesting that as God talks about feeding our souls, He feeds our souls not through our mouths as much as through our ears. Notice how many times in our text we hear the word listen. Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good. Really, those are parallel statements. If you listen to God in His Word, you are eating what is good, good for your soul. He says again in verse 3, give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. Listen that you may live. Isn't that what brings us back here to God's house again and again? It's what has us tuning in to a message so we can hear what God is saying to our lives. God extends this beautiful invitation to us. Come, listen, and live. Live not some kind of shallow, empty, put in your time kind of existence, but live a life to the full. Live a life knowing that you are a precious, redeemed child of God. Live a life knowing that God has equipped you with gifts and talents that you can use to carry out all the various vocations in your life. Live a life knowing, well, knowing where you're going. And knowing that when God calls you home, and until that time, He's going to walk with you every step of the way. My friends, that's the full, the meaningful life that God keeps us healthy enough to enjoy by continuing to feed our souls with a banquet of His Word and sacrament. Let's face it, there is a lot of junk food in our world today. Things that we're tempted to crave, things that we're tempted to use to try to satisfy us. But God offers us something much, much better. Here in His Word, specifically here in the gospel, the good news of His gracious love for us in Christ. Here in His invitation to come and eat good food. Here in His own body and blood, in, with, and under the bread and wine. Even there in the washing of the water and the Word, through these means of grace, the gospel in Word and sacrament, He offers us a banquet for our souls, a banquet that'll keep us alive even in the midst of a global pandemic. Which brings me to one last point. You realize that Satan would love nothing more than to have us use COVID-19 as an excuse to start skipping some meals. Satan would love to have us go back to our diet of junk food because he knows that in the end, it'll kill us. Don't let Satan win that battle. Don't let him tear you away from what is truly healthy. Feed your faith. Whether it's here in God's house or it's online watching. And if perchance it's been a while since you tasted the covenant of God's forgiveness through the sacrament of communion, then I want to invite you to join us 3 weeks from today as we once again celebrate the greatest supper of all. And if you're not quite ready to gather into a large group, if you have family or friends who aren't quite ready for that, then join us on a Monday night or a Wednesday morning, or contact a pastor and we'll offer a private communion with you. The bottom line is this: our gracious God is passionate about keeping us alive and healthy. He wants us to enjoy life to the full, now and forever. And to that end, he offers us a banquet for our souls. He says to us, in effect, if you are hungry, if you are thirsty, come and get it. Or in the words of Isaiah 5:2, listen to me, and eat what is good. Bon appetit. In Jesus' name, amen.